Got good news and bad news for you this morning. The bad news is the Lord didn't come this morning. And that's also the good news. If you're not saved, you got another day to get that thing taken care of. Amen. I would get it taken care of today. No better place to do that than in God's house on a Sunday morning. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the week, but here we are today. Let's take advantage of today. Amen. And see what God has for us here. The book of Genesis, chapter number 49. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter number 49. Isn't it good to wake up in peace and safety this morning? A lot of stuff on the news the past couple of weeks about all this violence and stuff like that, but you notice that's all between groups of folks gathered together looking for trouble. And I don't see many white folks hunting down black folks or black folks hunting down white folks. I just see folks getting along, and that's good, amen? I'm proud to be from the South. I don't care what kind of labels they put it on that. The South is still open for business. And when you take down all the statues and stuff, people still be Southerners down there. And Southern hospitality will be open for business. We don't care what you think. I was come on down. We'll be nice to you. Feed you some bacon and eggs and all that good stuff. Amen. Preach to you a little bit. Get you saved and send you back up north where you belong. Amen. Which is part of the problem going on in Virginia. There's too many Yankees down there. Amen. I just wanted to get that in. Just wanted to fit that. Just so you know where we stand. Amen. It's not that we hate Yankees. It's just y'all messing up the atmosphere down there. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter number 49. I want to preach to you about passing on a blessing this morning. Passing on a blessing. Now, some folks passed on a blessing by not coming to Sunday school this morning. Amen. Some folks passed on a blessing by not reading their Bible this morning. See, read your Bible before you come to church on Sunday. I mean, doesn't coming to church take care of that? No, sir. You still got to read your Bible. Some folks passed on a blessing by not praying and maybe by not witnessing this past week. You passed on a blessing because there's a real blessing in it. Amen? But that's not, I know that's what the, that line of thought is what the sermon title sounds like, but I actually want to preach on just a little bit something different than that this morning. And let's read in verse number, let's get in the right place first. Genesis, I'm preaching like Brother Josh was leading singing, don't know where I'm at. But verse number 28, Genesis 49 and verse number 28. And it says this, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now again in verse number 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing. He blessed them. Lord, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in your house, the opportunity to preach. Lord, we don't take that lightly at all. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help me to preach and to teach for just a few minutes, God, about some good things and good principles out of your word. And Lord, you said in the book of Philippians that we're to approve excellent things. And this idea this morning is an excellent thing, and it comes from your word. And I pray you'd help me to say what must be said, help me to say it well, and then help me to get out of the way. And Lord, allow you to do your work, and I pray that you would do a work here this morning. I hear about lots of folks that's been getting saved in revival meetings, and that's a very encouraging bit of news, Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we know that lots of things are going on in our country that might be getting folks down or make people a little bit edgy and a little bit wary of one another. But we do thank you, God, that there's still some folks that love you and love your word. And Lord, we love the church and we love being here this morning. And God, we pray that you just help us to sit here in the refuge for just a few minutes, God, and get something from you. And we'll thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to notice how verse number 28 is worded here. It says, and let me go about halfway through the verse, it says, their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And so what you've got here is a record of Jacob blessing his sons. And of course these 12 sons, you understand, became the patriarchs, the leaders, the heads of the families in Israel. And so what you've got here is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. And Jacob is passing on to them a blessing. Notice how it's worded. It says, everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. Now the way you line that up in the scripture is you find where Jesus was teaching about what we call the prodigal son. And it says that the prodigal son came and said, give me my inheritance. I want to kind of do what I want to with my own stuff. I'm paraphrasing that, of course. And so what the Bible says is that father divided to them his living. See, it was his money. He's the one that made it. He's the one that passed it on to his son. One son stayed at home. One son went out into a far country and blew it on riotous living and all this kind of stuff. But what the point I'm trying to get across to you is the money that that boy blew out in the far country was his daddy's money. It was his daddy's money. It was his daddy's money. Now, this passage of scripture right here says that Jacob blessed his sons according to his blessing. He blessed them. And so it was Jacob's blessing. You can't bless anybody with anything that you don't have. Amen. And that's a big deal in the modern day church. There's a lot of preachers trying to pass on peace to the congregation. They don't have any. So, your preacher, talk to me about peace. Help me to get some peace. And he ain't got no peace himself. Three quarters of his sermons is about depression. You say, why? Because he's trying to help. No, because he's depressed. Yeah. Amen. You can just about tell, well, and I don't say this is the case all the time, but you can just about tell what a guy's going through by what he preaches on. Yeah. Right. These fellas always, listen, you got to preach on modesty, but a guy always talking about what a woman's got on, that fella's got a problem somewhere. That's what I think. I hate to be falsely accusing somebody, but that's just about the case that's going on. You usually minister to folks about what you got.
Yeah.
You get a church full of Pharisees, that don't happen on accident. That happens because it's been ministered to them. You know, everybody gets on Jacob because Jacob's the supplanter. That's what his name means. But you know he got it honest. You know what Jacob did? He went around working things out for himself. And Jacob gets the bad name, but who do you expect he got that from? He got it from Abraham. God said, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham went around working things out. Abraham, the friend of God. Ain't you glad for the grace of God? God wanted to work everything out for Abraham. Abraham kept getting in the way, doing things himself, and then God still blessed him. Boy, God's good to us, ain't he? Yeah. He surely is. He surely is. But I tell you what, Abraham was still around. You know, when you read the Bible, you get the idea that Abraham lived and died, and his little baby grew up, and then he lived and died, and Jacob grew up. But those fellows were contemporary. They were still alive when one another was living and breathing. They influenced one another. Yeah. They had an influence on one another. And you're going to have an influence on some folks in your life. As a pastor, as a father, listen, let me just get to it this morning. I'll be preaching all morning. You don't want me to do that. But I tell you this, you've got to get it in your heart and in your mind right now. I don't care if you're a grandpa or a father or a child. You've got to get in your heart that the only thing you're going to be able to pass on in this life is the stuff that you've got. And old Jacob here, he's blessing his sons, and he wasn't able to bless his sons with anything he didn't have.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
So, well, I'd like to see my children grow up to have some joy about them. Do you have any?
Yeah. Come on.
I'd like to see my children grow up to be good Christians. Are you one?
Right.
Are you one? Listen, there are folks in the little county, in the little town where we live, there are folks that are about 25, 26 years old now,
And I can't do nothing with them. I can't help them. I can't advise them. I can't influence them in any way because 10 years ago, while they were little kids sitting in the church pew, their mamas and daddies knew more than the preacher did, eat the preacher for lunch every time they went home on Sunday, talk bad about him. He don't know what he's talking about. He ain't got no sense. We know better. We're going to do it the way we've always done it. And now that they've grown up, Brother Mike don't know nothing. That daddy installed that.
Sure.
Now, I wouldn't call that a blessing, though. But they didn't listen to all of us are born in sin. It's everybody's responsibility. I understand it is the responsibility, but they were trained by somebody.
Right.
Amen. You can't pass on to your children subjection to God and His will and His ways if you ain't got none of that.
Amen.
You surely can't do that. You can't do it. According to Jacob's blessing, He blessed them. Now let me say this right quick. We've got a responsibility to pass on a blessing. Jacob's passing on a blessing to his children. We have a responsibility to pass on a blessing to our children. And then let me just say this, as a preacher, as a pastor, Brother Jesse back there playing with the toys. As a preacher, as a pastor, you've got a responsibility to pass on some things. Yes, sir. You've got a responsibility to do it. For example, listen, we got our church, like every other church on the planet, folks come in masses on Sunday morning and then a little bit on Sunday night. The crowd falls off Wednesday night. The crowd gets a little smaller.
Yeah.
Ain't that the way it works everywhere? Pretty much everywhere. And the boys, at sometimes we get a good crowd on Wednesday night. I'm thanking God. And then if you first start pastoring a church or something like that and you don't got much wisdom or nothing like that, you see the crowd on Wednesday starts to drop down, you start getting mad and fuss at the congregation that's there.
Yeah.
I mean, the folks came. You're fussing at them. No, you wait till Sunday morning and jump on the Sunday morning crowd. That's what you're supposed to do. You know what I started doing? As a pastor, I started blessing the folks that came on Wednesday night. Just say, God bless you, and pray and say, Lord, I pray you'd bless these people that come out tonight. Bless them. And you know what I can bless them with? I can bless them with the blessing that God gave me. Ephesians chapter number 1, now we don't get houses and lands for doing good. We're supposed to be good for nothing.
Amen. Yep, you're right.
Amen. We're supposed to be good for nothing. A lot of Christians claim to be good for nothing, but they don't really believe it.
Yeah.
You know how Baptists are, don't you?
Yeah.
Baptists will stand up and they'll say, I'm unworthy. I'm worth nothing and Jesus is worth everything. That's what they testify. But when you get up and preach and tell them they ain't worth nothing, they move their membership. Because they don't really believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
But when we're good, we don't get houses and lands like Abraham did or some of those patriarchs did. But we got, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We get blessings like love. You folks don't know how to love, except for yourself. You know how to love yourself. One of the biggest hindrances to passing on blessings to other people is you're too busy trying to get blessings yourself. Yes, sir. But listen, we do have, as Christians, the opportunity to be blessed with a lot of spiritual blessings that even some of the folks in the Old Testament didn't have. Yes, sir. Love and joy. When's the last time you had any of that? Let me give you some good news to this modern generation that's walking around depressed 24 hours a day. Listen, depression's a natural. You know we live in a cursed world, don't you?
Yeah, right.
God cursed this world. If you still believe Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, God cursed this world. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of Bible teachers don't believe that anymore. But God cursed this world.
Yeah.
Some bad things are going to happen. This life is not fair. It's not fair. I want what I deserve. Do you really want what you deserve? You don't want what you deserve. If you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you woke up this morning, drew breath, stretched out, rolled over and grabbed your Bible and started coming to church. You're one of the most blessed individuals that they possibly could be.
Amen.
Boy, your heart ought to be filled with joy. And when the bad things happen, you ought to be saying, man, we get to go to church today.
Yeah.
You're not in the check-in line to hell this morning, so you're doing good. You're doing good this morning. Well, you could pass that on and get up and start driving to church. I wonder what the preacher's going to say this morning. And you know, they're sitting there with a grimace on their face. They don't like nothing that's said when they get there, but they still come. Yeah. There's a disconnect there somewhere I don't really understand, but keep on coming. Keep on coming. You'd go to the Catholic church, but it's so dead there's nothing going on down there. Those folks don't talk about nothing. At least in the Baptist church, we talk bad about one another.
That's right.
That's kind of interesting.
That's right.
But I tell you what's going to happen when your little children get older. They're going to be on their way to church carrying the King James Bible. I wonder if I'm going to get called to sing today. I wonder what Sister Jones is going to be wearing today. Just passing it on. And their little children's going to come that way unless God gets a hold of them and changes their heart. Or maybe if God gets a hold of you and changes your heart. You can bless. You'd be a blessing to your children. Well, listen, I'd hate to know that my bitterness and my anger was going to set my children in the wrong direction for the next two or three generations. I'd rather be a blessing to them. You know, we had this president not long ago whose name I will not mention because it is a blasphemous name and we're in a holy place. I thought his name just now. You know, on the way home from church one day, my daughter, who is a history nut and she likes politics and stuff like that, she wants to grow up and be a judge. Bless her heart. I'll be getting out of tickets in only about 7 or 8 more years. But anyway, she was talking bad about the president. I said, "You hush your mouth." Hush your mouth. You say, why? Little kids ain't supposed to talk about adults that way. But where do you reckon they learned it? So I considered my ways, and there's a time and a place for everything. You know, James said, and I've quoted it this way many times and said Peter said, but Peter didn't say it. James said it. James said not to be many masters because we'll receive the greater condemnation. What you say as a preacher, what you say as a father, going to show up in your kids, and it might not show up correctly. You know what? One of the biggest mistakes preachers make is they talk to people like everybody's a theologian. That's why some of the best preaching you'll ever hear and the best preaching that'll ever have an effect on your life is just plain words, plain speeches, about all this fair words and everything correct and stuff like that. Well, people don't understand that, but preachers get up and they preach like everybody has a theological degree. And people walk out confused and every other thing. And people get so technical that nobody can exist next to them without being perfect and that's not the way to be. That's not the way to be. You know, I've heard of preachers quitting their church because, hey, these people in our church is just so bad. And you go to camp meetings like this and pastors come in from other places, get the opportunity to preach and say, my people, y'all just don't understand. Y'all pray for me because my people are so bad. That's why God called you to preach, because people are bad.
Amen.
You're supposed to lead them. You used to be where they are. The bad thing is most popular preachers now is 21, 22 years old, and they don't know no more than the people in the, they can't, you can't lead nobody that way. God said you's not to be a novice, you's to sit down and shut up and let somebody teach you.
Amen?
Amen? That's what's supposed to go on, but we're a nation led by young folks now. And you see how that works. That don't work too good. That don't work too, because you don't know nothing. That's the way they used to talk to young folks. That's the way my mama used to talk to me. She'd say, sit down and shut up. Or if you say one more word, I'm going to mash your mouth.
There you go.
But why, mama? Because I said so.
That's right.
Yeah. But at any rate, I got off track there a little bit. But you see, let me get back on track here. I told my little girl, I said, listen, don't be bad-mouthing adults. I don't care if they're bad. I don't care who they are or what they do. Just keep your mouth closed. You say, why? Because you're supposed to honor your elders. You're supposed to honor folks that are in authority. Amen. The Bible doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say complain about how bad the president is. He says pray for him.
Amen.
Is he in authority?
Amen.
Better pray. Well, nothing you can do about it. Listen, one thing that I love watching down south is all these fellas. They got a shotgun. Boy, I tell you what, if the government ever comes to get my guns. I tell you what, probably some of these Yankees up here probably saying the same thing. They got a 12-gauge shotgun, and the government's got a M1 Abrams tank. I'll tell you what, they come to get my guns, bless God, they ain't going to be sorry. No, you're going to help them carry your guns to the car. That's what you're going to do. Can I help you with that, Mr. Officer? You say, how do you know that? Because when they write you a ticket, you say, thank you. The guy hands you a ticket for $500, and you say, thank you, sir. Can I walk you back to your car? And you think you're going to fight them when they come to get your guns? You're going to give them up like every other liberty you've ever give up.
Right.
You're welcome. But while you're talking all this stuff, about what you're going to do, there's a little baby boy over there listening to what you say. Maybe the police are bad.
Yeah.
The police ain't bad.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
They're not bad.
That's right. Amen.
They're no worse cops than you are a bad Baptist.
Amen.
They got inconsistencies. They got headaches. They got problems at home just like you do. If you use it as an excuse to be a bad Christian, why can't they use it as an excuse to be a bad cop?
Amen.
Amen. But you're teaching your kid just you and your little family is right and everybody else is wrong. Well, we'll go to this church because this is the best option we got. This is better than you deserve.
Amen.
This is better than you deserve.
Yes,
this is better than you deserve.
Amen.
Amen. If you was in a much worse church than this, it'd be better than you deserve. We'll go back to what I just said. You deserve to be in hell.
Amen.
You deserve to be in hell this morning. You got to kind of preach along these lines, because now you go to different places and you're hearing this message, you know, about why do bad things happen to good people. They ain't no good people. So, well, I read in my Bible where there's a good man. That means he's well trained. That don't mean he's a good man. There's none good. Romans chapter 3 says there's none good. Bad things happen to bad people because we live in a bad world and it's cursed. You try to be as good as you can this week and see if bad stuff don't keep happening. It's because we live in a cursed world. It's not because you're good enough not to rate headaches anymore and heartaches anymore. They're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to come. But what you want to do is pass on to your children the ability to stand. I was reading in my Bible last night about this fella. And there was 800 people facing him. You know what he said? He said, I believe I'll fight. It was one of David's mighty men, one of the first three that's named. He was by himself. Everybody else run away. He said, I believe I'll fight.
Amen.
That's a good attitude to have.
Amen.
It's a real good attitude to have. You're going to pass that on to your children. You're going to quit every time a preacher mentions Facebook. You're going to quit every time a preacher preaches on one of your little pet sins. Or he's got so many convictions. Ah, shut up. How come you ain't got none? How come preachers are spending more time preaching against hard preaching than they are preaching against sin? Why is that? Why is that? That doesn't make sense. Listen, I grew up in church. I started going to church in 1974. It was 2010 before I ever heard a preacher preach against sin. That's a long period of time. Something changed.
Yeah.
Right. Something changed right there.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Yep. You think that won't be passed on to your children?
Yeah.
You know where the Independent Baptist Church is right now? It's among themselves, it's where the independents were when they started coming out of the Southern Baptist. Bunch of liberal colleges, bunch of liberal pastors, bringing in liberal stuff, liberal music, liberal everything else, liberal programs. They were spending more time and more money paying electric bills and feeding people so they'd start coming to their church than there was preaching the gospel. Filling somebody's belly ain't going to get them to heaven, I tell you that right now. It just ain't going to do it. You say, well, I think we ought to spend more time feeding the poor. Okay, take your paycheck and go to your grocery store and go to your neighbors and give them some food. Well, people are just so hypocrite. They're more than willing to be liberal with somebody else's money.
Sure.
Half of this crowd that spent last week talking about how racist white people are hadn't been in the black neighborhood in the last 40 years. Amen.
Yep.
Am I okay right there?
Yep, come on.
All right. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. But see, all this stuff you're passing on to your kids. You're passing on blessings. You know what you ought to be passing? Well, I better get busy. I'm running out of time. Better get on with the message. You know what you can pass on to your children? How about a family altar time? How about that? Listen, you say, my children are not interested in prayer. Well, that's kind of your fault too. That's kind of your fault too. But whether they like it or not, they come on, time to pray. Well, Dad, I just fired up the iPad. Shut it off and come on in here. Let's get down and pray. You say, why? Because they're going to be 30 years old one day wondering what's going on in their life. And they might just think, hey, you know, we used to pray. Daddy had a lot of problems too, but he seemed to make it through all right. That stuff's going to be passed on. I think, you know, Daddy used to pray and Mama used to pray and things used to happen. God used to take care. Maybe I'll try that too. They might even start doing it while they're teenagers. Well, that'd be a heart attack, wouldn't it? But I'll tell you what, sometimes you get busy and you're not thinking about things. And sometimes your little girl will come in and say, hey, Daddy, it's time for us to pray, ain't it? And boy, you're like, yeah. When your girl asks you if you want to pray, that's good. That's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. When you come home after you're working or been out doing something else, you come in, you hear your girls singing or your girls watching preaching on the television in the room. Boy, you know, I got a sneaking suspicion there's a lot of dads that sit around just terrified about what their kids are doing in their bedrooms, what they're listening to, what they're looking at. When you hear Mark McGahee coming through the speakers in the room, yes! Brother Mike, you're a nut. You'd be a nut too if your kid did right. Man. That's exactly right. But that kind of stuff you got to pass on. You got to pass on to them. You got to pass that blessing on to them. You know what Paul said to the Philippian jailer? Paul got locked up in jail. How's that for? You reckon Joel Osteen ever get locked up in jail? You reckon that little sissy britches, 21-year-old preacher you've been following around the nation, you reckon he'll ever get locked up in jail? His wife might lock him in the closet. She'll say to him, darling, you can't go out today because you didn't put your socks in the laundry. I throw my socks in the floor just because. Just because. I'm trying to raise my boy right. Amen. Throw it in the floor. Throw it in the floor right beside the laundry basket. And when your wife comes in, yeah, you're passing it on. Wife comes in the laundry room to get the laundry, be standing there looking. I meant to do that. See how quiet it is right now? Bunch of mousy men. That's why Hillary Clinton almost got elected. Because a bunch of men ain't got enough sense. Amen. To look at the wife and say, shh, 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 hush. Grow up and be a man. I don't know who you are, but grow up and be a man. Amen. Amen. You say why? Because you'll pass it on. Have you seen, listen, I was in the doctor's office the other day. Oh, I got so mad. When the lady, she wasn't a doctor, but she, our town don't rate a doctor. We got nurse practitioners, which nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. But when she came in, I had to have a heart-to-heart talk with her. I said, lady, you got to get some men's magazines in this. I know you treat men because here I am. Every magazine they had was, I don't know what they were, Us and all kinds of... That's what it said on the front, Us. It was girls, soap opera stuff, and I'm looking through them going, where's the Field and Stream? Where's the Guns and Ammo? Where are they at? And there was one, it looked like it had some fellas on the front, so I said, this might be a bit. And I opened up, and all the men was wearing these. Your suit's supposed to be loose fitting. You know, it's not supposed to be. It looked like them yogurt pants on a man.
Yeah. Come on. Kick that one.
And I know it took them 45 minutes to get this. Man, if you took 45 minutes in front of the mirror, There is something dangerously wrong with you. Dangerously wrong. Your hair comes up and it looks like somebody took Formula 44 and Formula 44D. That's a medicine, ain't it? 10W40 motor oil and poured it all in your hair and spiked it up. That's sissy. That's kind of sissy. And I looked at all these. I opened this one magazine, and it was all boys that looked like girls. And that's what's being influenced on these kids. Listen, I hate like the Dickens to say what I'm about to say, because it's not spiritual at all. But John Wayne is much better than Michael Jackson as a role model. Amen. Yeah. And when your preachers start looking like that, run! Run! Become a Pentecostal. No, don't do that. That's where it come from.
Yes, sir.
That's where it come from. Become something else. But that ain't right.
Amen.
That's not right. And listen, the little boys are getting that from somewhere.
Amen.
This generation getting it from somewhere that it was passed on to them. Husband sitting around the table. Well, darling, I think we should, this is the move that we ought to make. Well, I don't think so. And my daddy would never do that. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to go along with that at all. Okay, well, let's pack your bag and send you back to Papa. Otherwise, you're going to end up sitting in your room by yourself. I'm such a failure. And nothing's going right. And I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. That's what's going on. God said you're supposed to run your house. Men.
Yep.
Don't pass on that limp wrist to your son.
Amen.
Don't pass on your responsibilities to your wife. It's your responsibility. Amen. Run your house. When's the last time you heard a message about that?
Amen.
Most preachers, you know what? You want to hear hard preaching most churches today? It's, you better start tithing. Boy, I'll tell you right. Why hasn't that conviction been outlawed in the camp meeting circle? Now, we don't want to grind any axes today. Ain't axes supposed to be sharp?
Yeah.
We don't want to shoot our brethren. They deserve to be shot.
Amen.
Oh, the biggest problem in the Baptist church today is we're shooting our brethren. Have them need to be shot. Large caliber handguns. Shoot them. That's what they need. That's what they need. Their little wife writes her sermon out last. Now, darling, next time you say that, I wish you'd use a little bit more tact. Hush. Hush up. Did your wife call you to preach? Probably did.
That's good preaching right there.
When I first started, when we first got married, I was kind of a nervous fella. I still am a nervous fella. I had a problem with preaching like this, rattling chains, and now I'm a pastor. I don't got no change.
Yeah, there you
go. I got a candy wrapper though. So.
There you go.
My wife was like, "You shouldn't put your hands in your pocket." I thought about that for a minute. Like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. It doesn't look right. And then it hit me. Hey, mind your own business. I'll put my hands in my pocket if I want to. These are my hands.
Amen.
And they're my pockets, and I'm going to put my hands in my pockets. I'm nervous. I'm about to pass out up here. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
If we're ever going to take back this country, we must first take back our homes. That's exactly right. Well, listen, you're going to have to pass, you know what you need to pass on to your children? A good, stable home. One with a mama and a daddy.
Amen.
Amen. You know what, listen, Andy Griffith come along. Would you believe that there's churches now that are using the Andy Griffith show in their Sunday school classes to teach Mayberry principles? That's ridiculous. Listen,
Amen.
Andy Griffith lied in every episode.
That's right.
Is that Mayberry principles?
Yeah.
Listen, if Barney couldn't sing, they'd say, let's find a way to get Barney out of the choir. Hey, tell him he can't sing.
Amen.
I say that to say this. When I was a boy, if a girl got pregnant before she got married, the grandparents would say, that's not right.
Amen.
Listen, those children grew up in loving homes, and I hope all of them did. I know that in this country that we live in, all over the world, children get the bad end of the stick a lot of times. But I'm just saying my experience, when I seen that happen, I didn't see no kids grow up neglected because they had a mother only. But I did see families say, now listen, the principle is you get married first. But people don't say that no more. Just like preachers don't say nothing about modesty and preachers don't say nothing about what you watch on TV. So people do it. But I tell you this, back when people weren't afraid to say something, we had more stable homes. Do you got more stable homes now or did they have more stable homes before the hippie movement in 1960? Anything goes don't make a good home. Just do what you feel like is right does not make a good home. And don't make a good, you need a stable home. You need a home where the rules are the same every day. Every single day. And what's right is right every single day. That just got to, listen, you're going to go through stages where you're going to learn this or learn that. But listen, right is right. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Matter of fact, you know what it is most of the time anyway. But you know what we need? A stable home with a mama and a daddy. Well, preacher, I made a mistake and I got a kid and I'm not married. Well, get married. You say, why? That kid needs a daddy. Well, his biological father just wouldn't be too. Well, what's he going for? I'm tired of hearing excuses about everything. Well, we're violent because we're poor. I've been poor all my life. There's a lot of people been, I hate to use me as an illustration, there's a lot of people been poor all their life. They're not out breaking windows and stealing and doing heroin.
Amen.
Not doing that. The problem is mamas and daddies sitting in front of the television getting entertained while their kid's off doing whatever.
Amen.
Need to stay. And then let me say this, I got to quit. It's you not only need to pass on that stable home, need to pass on a stable church. Stable church. Listen, you are never, ever, 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 ever going to find a church full of perfect people. The reason you're here is because you're not perfect and you need more instruction. And listen, if you're sitting in the congregation, every preacher should know this for himself already. But if you're sitting in the congregation, you're sitting there among a bunch of people who need the same help you do. Stop criticizing one another. Stop telling your children how bad everybody else in the church is just so you can justify who you are. Children, look, you know, children go to church and they see all these wonderful people. They say, oh, Brother Joe was in the Marine Corps. Go get in the car and heading home. The kid says, Daddy, did you know Brother Joe was in the Marine Corps? Yeah, but Brother Joe, you don't know all the problems.
Yeah.
And you know what that's about? That's about keeping dad's status as number one. Them kids still think you're number one, but they got to live in a world where there's more than one person.
Amen.
Well, they're all bad. They really don't understand the Bible like I do. Teach them then. Teach them. Teach them. That lady doesn't dress as well as I do. Get next to her and hug her neck. Be nice to her. Before you know it, she'll start wanting to be like you.
Amen.
Ain't nobody wanting to be like you while you all got the grimace face. I guess I'll shake hands with you. He wouldn't even shake my hand. I reckon I'll call the pastor up when I get home. Hey, you was just at church with him. Why don't you talk to him? Wait till you get home. Preacher, we have to talk. You get the urge just when they say, preacher, we need to talk, just hang up on them. I was just at church with you 35 minutes ago. Why didn't you say something then? Why didn't you have your wife come say something to me? That's the way it goes most of the time anyway. Send a little wife down to church. No, you go on to church this week. I've had a hard week this week, and I just can't make it. What kind of week did she have, you bozo?
Amen.
Cleaning up your junk?
Amen.
Putting up with your junk? Putting up with your foul attitude? I just don't feel like I could make it this week. I'd be a hindrance. You're a hindrance anyway. Listen, when you don't show up, like I say, I preach it to the people that are here, but there's probably some layer outers that's here this morning just to hear a different preacher. You're a hindrance when you're not here.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. I pray, God, you'd help us to pass on something good to our children. Not just a bunch of bitterness, not just a bunch of hate, not just a bunch of foolishness, God, that we spend our lives thinking is important, but help us to pray. Help us, God, to be a blessing to our church instead of tearing it down. Help us, God, to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to encourage them by doing right. Help us encourage them by praying for them. Help us encourage them, God, by provoking to love and good works as you've commanded us to do. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to have the right kind of homes and pass that on to our children. God, I pray, oh God, many things left unsaid, or maybe I should have said, but Lord, I pray that you'd take the message tonight, the core message of that sermon, God, and that you'd instill it in our hearts. We must pass on the blessing that we have. We cannot pass on a blessing that we don't have. Help us, oh God, is my prayer, and I thank you for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Amen.